Hi, my name is Chris Brennan, and you're listening to the Astrology Podcast. This episode was recorded on Wednesday, November 25th, 2015, just after 1:25 p.m. in Denver, Colorado, and this is the 54th episode of the show. For more information about subscribing to the podcast, please visit theastrologypodcast.com/subscribe. This is a follow-up to episode 52, where I presented a lecture on whole sign houses, which I framed as an advocacy piece that was structured around 12 arguments for why I think that whole sign houses is the best approach to house division. There was a bit of controversy on Facebook after I released the episode last Sunday, partially due to how I framed the lecture as whole sign houses being, quote-unquote, the best system of house division, but also because some astrologers felt that I did not give an accurate or nuanced enough depiction of the history of the development of the house division issue in the Hellenistic tradition, and specifically the role that quadrant houses played in the early part of the tradition. There are also some additional points raised about other arguments that I made in favor of whole sign houses during the course of the lecture. The most vocal critic of the lecture was Deborah Holding, who said that most, if not all, of my arguments were either false or misleading, and expressed that she was concerned that I was misleading the public with my presentation. In response, I invited her to join me for an episode of the podcast so that we can talk about and debate some of the specific points that she raised, and so that she could offer an alternative point of view to my arguments. She accepted the invitation and asked what the earliest date was that we could have the discussion, and then we scheduled the episode for 2 days later. In the first half of the episode, we mainly focus on some of the debates surrounding the development of different forms of house division in the Hellenistic astrological tradition, which occupies roughly the first several hundred years of what is essentially the practice of traditional Western astrology. Then in the second half of the episode, we shift our focus towards some of the other arguments that I made elsewhere in my lecture on whole sign houses. I believe that this is the longest episode of the podcast that I've ever done, and during the course of it, we covered a lot of ground. On the description page for this episode on the podcast website, I will include links to a number of different papers that deal with different aspects of the issues that we discuss, so please be sure to check those out if you'd like to research these topics further. So, with that introduction out of the way, let's get started with the episode. Hi, Deb. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I'm really glad to have you. Yeah, this is the first time you've been on the podcast, but I've wanted to have you for a while. So part of the context for this episode was that I did a lecture last week for a group of just general modern astrologers on whole sign houses. And I did a really simplified version of that, of my presentation on whole sign houses, where I sort of removed or sort of glossed over a lot of important nuances and details, especially when it comes to the history of astrology. And I know that some people were kind of annoyed by the sort of simplified historical picture that I presented in that lecture, and it caused a little bit of controversy. So you and I have had, you know, several discussions about house division before in the past, and we have different views sometimes on the development and the origins of house division in ancient astrology. So I wanted to have you on the show to discuss some of our differing views and to sort of showcase how we see the development of house division and where some of the disagreements from a historical standpoint lie.
Okay.
Yeah. So should we jump into it, or do you have any comments before we get started?
Well, only to say, Chris, before we get started, that I listened to your podcast with Jeffrey Cornelius last night, and I just thought it was an excellent podcast. And it was good to see him, you know, cover some of the points that I guess I would have liked to have covered myself in regards to what he was saying about best techniques and the fact that there is a relevance in that your lecture was promoted as being something that proved whole sign house division to be the best technique. So I think we have to bring that in. But I loved the points that he made. I loved the whole podcast. I think it's a credit to Jeffrey Cornelius, who's always brilliant, but what you're doing yourself. And it was good to get his views on that. So I wanted to congratulate you and thank you for doing that, and also say that it seems like to follow Jeffrey is a big task to follow, I guess.
Well, I think you're up to the challenge, personally. I mean, you have quite a body of work behind you yourself, especially in terms of scholarship on the history of astrology, both with your book on house division, which is titled The Houses, Temples of the Sky, as well as, you know, everything that you've done on Skyscript. So you're a great person to talk to about this. So, yeah, so let's jump right into it. And I should have clarified, because I actually apologize. I misspoke yesterday when I did the interview with Jeffrey, because I framed it sort of offhand when it came up as if this was going to be a debate about whole sign houses versus quadrant houses, which is not quite what we're doing here exactly, because that would be kind of an absurd debate that neither of us necessarily is trying to have. But yeah, instead, it's just more about especially some issues regarding the development of house division, where different people have different interpretations about the history of the subject.
Yeah, absolutely. But it has to be said that, I mean, I think that when, in fact, before, with the suggestion that I speak on this podcast, I did actually put into one of my messages that I did not want to talk about, trying to distinguish the best kind of house system, but to unpack the issues that, your presentation generated. Partly in the fact that, although you say it was a very simplified lecture which was aimed at modern astrologers, it was actually a very substantial delivery of information. And the way that I saw it was that it was so one-sided in its bias towards pumping up the arguments for whole sign, which were, I would say, a lot of the arguments that you were pumping up had no foundations to them. So I have issues with that. But presented as something in a very provocative way, which I think, you know, was deliberate, because I think it was part of a deliberate plan. And you pretty much say as much in your introduction that you toned it down a little from the best house system ever to...
Literally ever. Literally.
Literally. You know, right. Without any doubt whatsoever in your mind.
Right.
To tone it down as to the best. And you know, that is such a loaded value system, which is the kind of thing that it's not an argument that I want to get into. But the very fact that astrologers are still trying to prove that their technique is better than everybody else's is something that I see as quite damaging to the community as a whole, because we really got to get away from that. You know, we're in a community now where the internet binds us, and there's lots of different people with different approaches. There's astrologers using tropical zodiac, astrologers using sidereal zodiac, all sorts of techniques, and there's all sorts of really wonderful work that's being done in astrology through different perspectives that I think it's important for us as a community now to just drop this whole, this is better than this, and if this works, then that can't work. I guess sure. What I'm trying to say is the reaction to your presentation was partly provoked by the fact that, on one level, by your own admission, it was quite a bombastic presentation that, you knew you were taking liberties. But throughout, when you listen to it, you spend a great deal of time in the introductory period, and I would say probably up to about a third of the presentation is given to authenticating the legitimacy, the importance conceptually of whole sign houses. And, so that by the time you get on to demonstrating it with the way that you worked with it in practice, which I thought was really, really interesting, you know, any modern astrologer that is listening to this presentation for the first time has now absolutely concluded there is no reason not to use whole sign houses, because this was the original system. This is what houses are conceptually supposed to be. This was authorized by 1,000 years of consistent, exclusive practice, where you say that, you know, all astrologers, ancient astrologers, used it. And so, you know, like, you've taken them so far that I felt that, you know, it's actually potentially capable of causing damage to our understanding of the history and the tradition of astrology, because some of the statements that you made were, in my view, very, very exaggerated.
Sure. Yeah. And I definitely take full responsibility for pitching the lecture in that way as an advocacy piece, where I was trying to make the case for Holstein houses. I was simplifying the history. I did not say anything that I personally believe to be inaccurate or distortion of the truth in terms of the history, but we'll get into that later because I know that you do, because we have different opinions about certain things in terms of the development of house division. But I did try to close the lecture on a note of that I actually, despite this being an advocacy piece, the lecture for Holstein houses, that I don't really care, and I'm not trying to tell everyone that we all have to switch to Holstein houses, and that's the only house system that anyone can use. But I tried to leave it on a note of that, honestly, Holstein houses probably will need to be combined with quadrant houses in the future, and that's where my research is going to go in the future. But also that I personally think that people should use the house system that works best for them, but I just think that they should have good reasons for doing so. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to sort of lead by demonstration by doing, you know, making the case for the form of house division that I use primarily by outlining some of the reasons why I personally use it. I did pitch that due to the marketing and, you know, okay, a way that created more controversy than I could have if I had presented in a different way. And so I've sort of learned a lesson there in terms of, you know, how to present my case.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want to give people a false impression, and I want to, that's why I'm having you on the show, in order to provide the other piece, so the missing piece of the argument, and to talk about some of the things that I left out, and especially in terms of the history.
Yeah.
So let's get into it with the very first point, which is the main one I think that you took issue with, which is sort of the synopsis of the first argument that I made, or the argument that I made on the first slide, or one of the first slides when I got in the arguments, was that I said essentially that Holstein houses was both the original form of house division in Western astrology, in horoscopic astrology, as well as the dominant form of house division for the first 1,000 years of the practice of Western astrology.
Mm-hmm.
So you take issue with that on two points, right? On the one hand, you have questions. You question whether it was the original form of house division. And on the second point, you question whether it was the dominant form of house division for the first 1,000 years of the practice of Western astrology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to make logical sense to follow these 12 points that you've presented, but it's a case of, you know, we can't actually do it precisely in a sequential manner, because some of the points that you make throughout the presentation combine, and it's the combination of them that creates the falseness of the impression that I felt you were giving. We're absolutely united, and we both agree that people should understand the principles of what they're doing, and I totally agree with you, and this is why I have an issue with what you presented, because I don't believe that you actually did give people a true understanding of what the situation was with Holstein houses. I think that you exaggerated the argument in favour of it to the extent that, you know, a false impression was created. So, yes, you've got this whole sense of, were they the original form of house division? Let's keep that separate from the dominant form of house division, although we're definitely going to have to bring that in.
Well, I mean, I think that's a good starting point, because that's something I take for granted, but you seem to question whether that's actually the case, whether it was the original form, and that's sort of not the basis of my...
That, because there's, first of all, there's this issue that definitely came across not only in the PowerPoints and your synopsis, but when you listen to the presentation as a listener, listening to your words and the, you know, the arguments that you're making. Over and over throughout the presentation, you stress the point that it is the original system. And you don't just make that comment that it's, you know, it's an early system that's in the original material, or it's some of the first material that we make. You really stress and emphasize the fact that conceptually, this is what house division is supposed to be. And there's little nuances throughout your presentation that, you know, support this concept, that actually are quite unique to your view. You don't see them elsewhere. You don't see it in the text. You don't see it in the academic papers or the, you know, assessments made by other people.
The statement that it's the original system of house division, you think that that's unique to me?
It's the way that you were conceptualizing the whole thing to be, this is what houses are supposed to be. Houses are, in the way that I listened to your words, it took from it that houses are supposed to be a sign of the zodiac. which, would you not agree, is pretty much what you were saying?
I mean, I was saying that that was how they were originally conceptualized. Yeah. That's not, I'm not saying that quadrant house division did not become a form of house division,
you
so that there was a shift.
Never really mentioned quadrant system at all, really, except to say that they didn't. Pretty much, you gave the impression they didn't exist until around the, you know, 9th century, and then probably for some reason that probably wasn't well thought through. But the point is that you didn't, throughout the whole presentation, you didn't cross-reference to the use of quadrant system. So it's almost like anybody listening to that presentation would assume that there was no existence of quadrant systems until around the 9th century, when they suddenly appeared very suddenly and took over for a reason. That's the way that it came across, because there was no reference to quadrant system, and because you started the whole thing with an argument that suggested that conceptually whole signs generated house meanings. Whole signs are what houses are supposed to be. And you did that throughout the presentation in little ways. For example, when you gave your definition of the ascendant and you talked about the meaning of the horoscope, and you dwelt over this, conveying this understanding that the word horoscope or horoscopus is supposed to be pointing us to the sign rising on the ascendant. Whereas everybody else that, you know, has looked at the origin of that word and what it is supposed to convey, you know, it's quite clear that the word horoscope is about time marking, you know, in a specific way. And the way that we have it in the texts is being used to point out the marking of time and, you know, particular details that are used in order to get a specific time. And there's nothing in the ancient traditional material that says that the ascendant is supposed to be a rising sign. Wherever you get a clarification of what it is supposed to be, it is the clarification is showing that it is supposed to be showing us the degree of the zodiac that is rising. So, you know, throughout the whole build-up to your showing the, you know, the elegant practice of it, over and over again, the listener is having perpetuated in their head that this is what it is supposed to be, with no contrast or other argument about the fact that actually when, you know, you look into the philosophy and the principles of the houses, what they're trying to do is give quality to the meaning of space and time, and that they're doing something quite different from what the ecliptic signs are doing, because the ecliptic signs are one frame of measurement, but the houses are intended to be offering a different kind of measurement that takes into effect diurnal revolution, the issues of culminating, the issues of declining. And so, you know, because none of these details were included, but over and over we get this sense of this is the original, and this is the conceptual origin, with no reference to any other views.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. So first, I don't want to be painted as if I'm the one that's unique in my view about this. That Holstein houses was the original form of house division is actually the dominant theory at this point in time that is held by historians like James Holden, Robert Hand, Robert Schmidt. Even Joseph Crane, who wrote a book on Hellenistic astrology, says that. And even Dorian Greenbaum, who recently wrote a PhD dissertation on it, says that it was by far the most prevalent form of house division amongst Hellenistic astrologers.
Chris, if you separate the issue of prevalent and original, because, you know, what I'm saying is there's two arguments here.
The
argument that you were stressing that I'm taking issue with here is the fact that you spent time to dwell on developing this idea that conceptually this is whole sign is what houses are meant to be. None of the other authors that you've mentioned do that. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to, I certainly want to give you a chance to respond. But when you mention James Holden, as you know, one of the issues that I had with your presentation was that you referred to his paper. And, you know, you summarized what James Holden had to say. And you, if I can quote you from what you said in your presentation, you quote James Holden as saying that all of the ancient astrologers were using whole sign. And, you know, this is the summary of your paper, of the paper that he wrote in 1982, whereas James Holden never says anything remotely like that. You know, he gives five different methods of house division. He talks about Ptolemy using the equal house system. He never makes any of the points that you were making in your presentation.
And I went back after we talked about this last night privately to double check. And A, what I said was that it was the dominant form of house division. I may have misspoke and said it was the only form of house division. I don't think I did that. But if I did, then that was me misspeaking. And you can clearly see on the slides.
It's on your tape. And, you know, I can minute time what you actually say that.
That's fine. Well, on the slides itself, it says that it's the dominant form of house division, which is the way that I usually try to phrase it. And I went back and looked at what Holden says in his paper that I cited from 1982, and he actually says, this was the origin of the houses of the horoscope. They began with the rising sign and were numbered successively
but
in the order of signs.
You're talking about the decans at this place, time where he's talking about the origin. You're not talking about whole sign system.
No, he's talking about whole sign houses. I mean, I can bring out the full thing, and then I have a separate quote from Holden, which was an exchange that I have to him, which I quoted on the Skyscript forum 4 years ago, where he says clearly, he says, it was the original system, and it seems to have been the primary one used for the first 500 years of horoscopic astrology. So again,
can
that's somebody
just
else.
Turn to what you, how you quoted in your paper, because you were, you know, you were referring to a paper that you wrote in 1982, which I asked that paper, and there's nothing in that paper that I, you know, there's little details that I might bounce off or say, I think we have a different emphasis on that now. But I actually think Holden wrote an excellent paper, and to say he wrote it in 1982, I think it's really remarkable. Not only just in what he says, but the little details that he puts in that make you aware if you've gone into this, he's very much informed on important things behind that, like little technical details. But there's nothing in this paper that I've been able to read. He talks about whole sign, and he says that, you know, there's starting from the rising sign, the houses were numbered off succession in the example given below. Probably this is what you were quoting here. Yeah, is this the same passage?
I wasn't actually quoting that paper. I was just quoting his combined works, which is that paper plus his history of horoscopic astrology plus other things that he's written to me.
Back to where you were, because where you're saying this was the origin of the houses of the horoscope, he's not actually talking about the use of whole sign at that point. What he's doing is he's talking about he's talking about marking the beginning of the circle by the ascendant. So I don't think where he's using the word origin of the houses is not in context to the use of whole sign. But you know what I think is a good idea, because I don't think there's any need to labour this. And I'm using you as a hook to open up this discussion. And I think you've been very generous to allow me on your podcast to do this. So I don't really want to, dwell on this. But I think what would be a great thing to do is just upload Holden's paper. And I've got permission from the AFA to do that. And to then people can, if they want to see Holden's position on it, they can read it for himself. So I'm, you know, quite happy to upload that up to Skyscript. And the only point that I'm making in terms of the reason we're having this conversation is because I don't find anything that I would dispute in Holden's paper, but what I would dispute is when somebody says that in 1982, James Holden published in paper, and then Project Einstein came along and confirmed his conclusion that all of the ancient astrologers were using it, because James...
No, what I said was that it was the original form of house division. So I want to be very clear about what my actual statement was and what you're disputing. So what I cited Holden for was the discovery that it was the original form of house division, which was later confirmed by Project Hindsight. So do you disagree with that?
Because I do, because I actually typed out the words that are in minutes 6:22 to 7:34 of the presentation. And
well, no, it's not. I'm not it's not parsing. We're talking about the actual issues here. So I'm not going to parse what I may have said in the lecture or whatever. It's more about we're discussing the actual issues here. And one of the points is that you as a researcher and as a astrologer and historian, you actually disagree with Holden and Hand and Schmidt and Crane and Greenbaum and myself about whole sign houses being the original house system and being the dominant form of house division, because you interpret the way quadrant houses was being used differently than some of these other researchers are interpreting it. So I'd like to get into that issue.
Yeah, that sounds fair enough. In terms of like I say, there's a different issues because the originality of the concept, and I hope we've packed that away, that I have, I think it was a mistake for you to try and convey the sense that this is, whole sign is what houses were intended to be, because I would have very different views on that, and I think that the tradition gives no support to that view. Now, in terms of were they one of the first and earliest approaches to interpreting a chart, what we can say, here's where I would have an issue with what Holden writes in his paper. He makes no sense of these were the original, but he does say that there's different systems, and you know, he talks about Holstein as being the first that we can see evidence of. And in order to do that, he refers us to the book Greek Horoscopes and, you know, pages in that book. When you actually look at those pages in that book, there is no, you know, clear examples within that section of this sign equals house approach being taken.
So in your interpretation of Greek horoscopes, you don't think that whole sign houses is being used in any of those charts?
Within the pages that Holden references in his paper. But without doubt, you know, where you do get it is in the Valens material, which is, you know, the Greek horoscopes is kind of packed with that. Right. So to go into the background of this, because, you know, though you say that Holden was interpreting these texts for himself back in 1982, it seems pretty clear is that, you know, he was very well aware of what was in Greek horoscopes before Project Hindsight started out, as was I, because I was also somebody that had taken that text to bits and, you know, tried to get everything I could from its content. And it was already in the out there, the idea that, because even Nirgebauer and Van Howerson, you know, give sources of other people who have presented this idea. So it was not, you know, unique to Holden, but Holden was, you know, his work was so important and so valuable. And, you know, I think, you know, astrology owes him such a debt. But here's where I would have an issue with what he was saying, because in those pages that he references, those particular examples are not examples you can use for it. The examples are later on in Valens' work. So if you want to say the first evidence that we have and pin this claim original in terms of the earliest examples that we have show whole sign approach, I would have an argument to raise with that, because actually going through the charts work that are available in Greek horoscopes, which includes examples that was never centered in the Project Hindsight material, there's actually examples which give us very, very interesting questions that don't show whole sign, that seem to show something much more specific. And those examples haven't been explored, and I think they really need to be explored. So
just really quickly, so one of the issues that people run into, or that historians run into, that Robert Hand pointed out in his paper on whole sign houses in Culture and Cosmos in 2008, is that the vast majority of the surviving horoscopes from the Hellenistic tradition, they just list the planets and they list the rising sign and that's it. And they don't list the midheaven. They don't list intermediate house cusps or anything else.
They also don't give any astrological details at all. You know, most of them are just like a very brief summary of some kind of astronomical record of positions. So, you know,
right. They're scraps of paper that somebody's like calculated somebody's chart, and then that would then be used to interpret it.
They've done the whole chart. What Robert Hand did in his paper on whole sign was, he did kind of like statistical analysis of how many of these charts include the ascendant, how many include the horoscope. But to look at the numbers on paper doesn't mean anything if you don't know the material, because when you know the material, you know that, well, yeah, there's 80 chart examples there, but you could take out 47 of them straight away because they're absolutely meaningless.
I think he raises a valid argument, which even if we don't agree with his argument is that these literally hundreds of surviving charts all calculate the planets and the sign of the planets and the sign of the rising sign, and they don't mention the midheaven. And he says what the reason for that is, probably in his opinion at least, that they were using whole sign houses. So once you know the rising sign, you know the house placements, all the planets already. So that's why you wouldn't need to list anything else like the midheaven or the intermediate house cusps. So it's okay if you disagree with that or something, but I just want to outline his argument is.
Disagree. I think that is a very good point that he's made. What I was trying to say was looking statistically at numbers without knowing the material itself, you can draw, it's like any form of statistics. But no, he's made a valid argument, and, you know, I don't want to take away the good work that Robert Hand has done. But one thing to, you know, there's a reason why I feel that Robert Hand's work needs a renewal of interest and a reappraisal, which I'll probably get back to in a moment, because I just would like to really dwell on the fact that in Greek horoscopes, there is, you know, these early examples which haven't been explored by Project Hindsight or astrologers, which, you know, the oldest and the first ones that we find in the original documents that are available that show any sense of detailing planetary positions in a meaningful astrological sense, are examples that include details of, you know, the degrees positions of the ascendant, the degree position of, you know, every angle. But also, I'm just trying to find the page right now. You know, there's very intriguing references to what appears to be a use of house system, where there's definitely a record of degrees for something. So, for example, on the first one, they talk about, after giving the positions of the ascendant to the degree, in fact, in great detail, the detail that is in this example is amazing.
So part of your point, and this is a really good point, that there are existing chart examples and there's chapters, because I want to make this point for you really quickly, that there's existing chart examples and chapters in Hellenistic astrologers' texts where they clearly outline quadrant houses, including Porphyry and Alcibiades and other systems.
Well, what we seem to have here is evidence of something where house cusps are given 2 degrees and not in a way that is equal house or whole sign. And there's 2 very interesting examples, and they're actually very full astrological texts, but they're loaded with difficulties because they're so old. They're bringing up techniques that even Project Hindsight hasn't explored. And what the editors do is that they notice that, you know, there's references to the lot of Agathos Daimon, which is the 11th house, with, you know, degrees and reference to degrees. And Nergebauer notices that, you know, there's a few charts where there's a mixing up of references between lots and topoi, and the use of degrees, which is indicating, you know, in this old and early material, yes, there's things are marked by degrees and cut in ways that are clearly not just showing this very simplistic look at the rising sign and number everything on from that.
Sure. So let's get into that, because that's really the primary thing that this argument centers on, is the fact that there were quadrant house systems used in Hellenistic astrology. And part of the dispute is that it's become common after Schmidt, and Schmidt's been followed evidently by Hand and also Dorian Greenbaum, in saying that quadrant houses were used in addition to whole sign houses, but they were used either as a secondary overlay on top of whole sign houses, only in order to determine planetary angularity and not to determine the topics of the houses, like marriage, parents, whatever, like which is the primary use of the houses, but instead they were only used to determine angular cadence succedent and thus how active the planet was, or alternately that they were only introduced in restrictive instances within the context of specific techniques, which is the length of life technique, for example, which is the argument that I made in a podcast in 2011. Mm-hmm. So that's the point of disagreement, though, where you really disagree and have your own viewpoint about that. So how do you see that?
Let's go to that, because I think that although this argument has been made, I think it's an argument that you have made more strongly than anybody else. Although Schmidt introduced the idea, as you say, and, you know, speculated on it, I'd like to kind of like go back to why that might have been the case. Because what we have in the tradition is so many clear, to me, undeniable references telling us how to calculate houses in texts that are supposed to not have this information, that I struggle to understand why people are trying to, what I call, add another epicycle into this theory that, you know, only Holstein houses were used. So why could this be? And if we go back to, you know, I think we have to understand why people like Schmidt, Hand, and I don't know that Dorian has made this argument so strongly, but I know Dorian's a very careful and scholarly writer, so I suspect that what she will have done is followed what Robert Hand wrote.
Yeah, I mean, I have the quote from her dissertation right in front of me if you want it.
I'm not disputing that she said it, Chris, but I doubt that she would push this theory in any kind of... I think that she might raise it as a possibility. And just to say that, by the way, the paper that Robert Hand wrote, I was at the Warburg when he delivered that paper, and, you know, this whole issue was brought up. And he was very clear in his presentation when he made this... what Robert Hand said at the time was, they don't understand, but he has a theory. He has a theory that it could have been that Holstein houses were used in general interpretation, and yet the use of quadrant system was kind of reserved for gaining potency and power. And he did attribute the theory to Robert Schmidt. And he said, there is no evidence for this. It's a speculation, but it's one I favour myself. And so, you know, when I was there and, you know, saw Robert Hand deliver this, it was fair enough. You know, he made it clear, this is a view and I favour it. There's no evidence for it.
Well, I disagree. I mean, I think Schmidt outlined the evidence, and that's why it is a theory, because it was based on an attempt to interpret what the astrologers were doing. Because one of the things that Schmidt noticed was that all of the Hellenistic astrologers would first introduce, they'd be using Holstein houses most of the time, especially in the introductions, but then at some point they'd get to the chapter later in their works where they dealt with the length of life technique. And for the length of life technique, you need to know if a significator is angular, cadent, or succedent. And it's at this point in Valens and in Ptolemy and in Dorotheus that they first introduce their quadrant house systems and really go into it. And so that's why you have this question then of why are they just introducing this now, even though they've been talking about and using houses up to this point that seem to be Holstein. And so Schmidt's interpretation was that they were using it as a sort of technique specific thing within that context. And now you have people like Dorian Greenbaum, who also states that as what she thinks to be the case. I mean, in her dissertation, in a footnote, she says, but the Holstein place/system showed areas of life, while the rising or culminating angles and those setting and anti-culminated described relative strength or power of signs or planets within the system. Mm-hmm. So it's like she's following after Schmidt.
Does she reference anybody there? Does she say that as a matter of fact, which would surprise me if she did?
No, she's citing that chapter of Valens where he does the length of life treatment, and she's citing other authors throughout here. I mean, it's a dissertation,
well,
so she has like 20 citations.
Yeah, I disagree with it, but what you take into consideration is the background. Because Dorian, as yourself were influenced very strongly by ideas developed by Robert Schmidt and... you know, Robert Hand. And if that is the leading theory out there, then obviously you're going to default to their position if you're learning the system through them and developing this whole Hellenistic package, which is started from the very beginning by saying, you know, we're adopting the position that there is nothing but Holstein in these texts, which is what Project Hindsight did with the very first release of the first book, which was Paulus. And Robert Hand introduced this notion that there's, you know, there's no sense of houses in this ancient material except the use of signs for houses. It's very clear that was a false position to take.
I don't see anyone taking that position. I honestly do not. I mean, Schmidt was saying, introducing this argument. I don't see how Schmidt could have been making the argument that we just referred to about there being quadrant houses.
Robert Hand actually introduces it in his introduction to Paulus, where he says he says that Paulus has no concept of anything but houses equals signs, which is, you know, the predominant system in India. And he takes that opportunity to, you know, to present that right at the start of the translation project. But actually,
that was literally the very first translation they did, right?
Yeah, I believe so. It's the first text that I had as part of the release.
Okay, well, within the text
of Paulus, there's nothing that you can judge one way. There's no chart examples, and there's no, you know, clarification on the calculation of houses. But everything that Paulus goes on to say about, you know, the mid-heaven and the meaning of the houses, in every way, the 10th house is connected with this principle of culmination, of being the mid-heaven, you know. So it's a text that it really does not, in my opinion, favour a whole sign view. But
So I disagree, and I just want to outline why I think that. It's because, as Rob Hand discussed in his paper on whole sign houses, Paulus actually talks about the mid-heaven falling in signs other than the 10th whole sign house. And actually, Dorian cites this in the same passage I just accidentally that I'm just looking at, where Paulus says the midheaven can fall in the 9th whole sign house, mm-hmm. or sometimes the 11th, which only makes sense in the context of whole sign that you would be talking about why it would be falling.
No, and I'll come to an example why I would disagree with that. But just to go back to this, to the importance of Robert Hand's paper, because I think it is, by the way, I don't want to suggest that I have anything but huge, huge, massive admiration for the work that Robert Hand does, because I think it's amazing. And I also want to say that, you know, Robert Hand is aware of the fact that I have disagreements of views of certain things. And despite this, we have a very good, you know, friendly relationship. And he's been wonderful in times when I've actually developed work to contradict things that he's published in the past. He's actually helped me by supplying me Latin translations from Latins of texts that I needed in order to disprove something that he's published before. So, you know, let me just flag up the fact that I don't want to be attacking the wonderful work that Robert Hand has done.
Sure, and he wrote the introduction or the foreword to your book, so he obviously respects your work as well.
By no means I want anybody to assume that I have disrespect for the things that he did, or the fact that, you know, some of the arguments that have been made about this have led us towards a development. But when you read Robert Hand's paper, which it's kind of like cemented the authority of the argument that you feel that it already has. You know, he admits that, and he concludes his paper by saying that, you know, even before they undertook the project, they were, I don't want to misquote him, but what he's saying is that they had already, you know, seen, even before they began the translations, they knew that there was this system in India of whole signs, and they were looking for it. You know, he says that in his conclusion.
I think that's part of, like, Hand says that he read an Indian text once in, like, the 70s, and then he thought he felt like suddenly he understood what Ptolemy was doing, so that he had this inkling of that whole sign houses might have been used in the Western tradition early on as well, but he had no way to prove that. Okay, and it wasn't until Project Hindsight that they did the translations, and then suddenly they see that whole sign houses is actually being used by a bunch of the authors in his and Schmidt's opinion.
Yeah, so I think it's irrelevant to, you know, he says in the conclusion of his paper, he says that, you know, are there examples of whole sign still in existence? Yes, there are. It's a resounding yes. And it was, in fact, the knowledge of this that caused several of us involved in the study of Greek astrology to be on the alert for the possibility that this was the practice of the Greeks and Romans and Ptolemy, especially Ptolemy. And he says again that, you know, that when they undertook the project, they were looking for this. So, you know,
well, I don't think that's a good argument to make, that they wanted to find it or seeing it, because they could turn around the same argument on you, because you're a proponent of quadrant houses.
So they think
that you're doing the same thing, which is reading quadrant houses into ancient astrology where it wasn't there.
Because
I don't think anybody should make that argument.
It's a fair point to raise, and it's good that you have raised it, because I use a Rigi Montanus house system in my horary work, which is the main practicing consulting work that I do. But actually, you know, I'm very, very often asked about the issue of what's the best house system. And, you know, anybody that has heard my reply on that will know that my view is for Horary, as what I've said is that I think that the astrologer has to choose, and there is no one system that is perfect. You know, the astrologer has to choose that. I use Rigi Montanus for a pretty pathetic reason, you might argue, which was simply that when I got into the study of Horary, I wanted to understand and follow and, you know, learn from William Lilly. So I adopted his system without giving much thought to it, and I've used it, and it's become my custom and practice. And I make it very clear to people that that was my motivation, not because I think it's any better than any other system, but that's just the case, and it served me well, and I have no reason to change. But I'm not on a hobby horse to tell people that they should be using this house system or the other house system. That's really not what I'm about.
Well, you don't think that whole sign houses, though, is really a house system on some level, though?
Yeah, we this is part of our discussion that we had last night when, you know, you concluded and said, do you actually think it is a house system? And I said, I think it's a non-use of a house system, which I know is going to sound pretty controversial.
No, it's fine. I mean, I want to. It's like
I think
I can see how somebody could argue
that. It's the fact that you know, the process of dividing and calculating according to what are all the, you know, the references to house calculation tells us. Because, you know, still I hear you using the word all the astrologers did it, and that's not true, you know.
And just to be clear, I say it's the dominant form of house division. The only astrologer that did not, which I credit you for really, you know, not pointing this out to me, but holding my feet to the fire and to make me recognize this, that Olympia Doris is the only one who I think only used quadrant house systems probably for topics.
Well, it's good that you say I think, because I think that it's really important, Chris, that when you say they all did this or nobody else did this, you know, you are presenting your opinion, and that's all any of us can do, really. I mean, there is no final word of this. This is a hugely complex issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's
but I want to come to a particular example, which I think, you know, is one that's interesting and kind of reflects on, you know, could possibly save us a lot of time, because it also relates to this paper that Robert Hand wrote and the fact that, you know, this reference wasn't given any, he had no awareness of it at the time that he published his paper and, you know, pushed out this whole sign was the original house system theory.
I don't know if we've presented the case about the quadrant thing before. We get into specific examples, just for the sake of our audience, since there's probably a lot of just novice people that aren't familiar with the history or with, you know, what even we're talking about in terms of why there would be a debate in the Hellenistic tradition. Like, right. So, I mean, maybe we should just talk or expand on that a little bit more about, I mean, one of the things that you sort of suggested is that whole sign houses, partially because you view it as sort of a non-house system, that it's been trumped up in modern times so that proponents of it are seeing it where it's not there. And instead you reverse it and you kind of think that everybody was using quadrant houses on some level,
no,
right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't say anything about who was using this and who was using that, or try and make conclusions, because what I try and do, and where I think people see me as being a little bit counter to the movement, is simply point out what the authors say. Like for Ptolemy, for example, you know, the focus is on, well, what does he actually say? This is what he actually says when he defines, you know, how the houses are calculated. And from this, like James Holden, you can only conclude that what he's describing there is something that relates to an equal house system and not a whole sign system. But I actually do have, you know, speculative views on that, but they're not views that I would push, because it's not there in the text. But what is in other texts is, you know, the statements of contemporaries saying that Ptolemy did this and we can see what they were doing. And that is of interest in its own right, whether Ptolemy was doing it or not, or they were trying to claim Ptolemy's, you know, authority for what they were doing. The fact is they were describing, you know, clear examples of how to calculate houses by quadrant division and, you know, systems that we know existed, they were doing it. And they were describing in detail in texts that we have easy access to the ways to make these calculations, how to do it. I mean,
yeah, no. And nobody disputes that. Like, literally nobody disputes that. Everybody acknowledges that quadrant houses and equal houses and porphyry and everything else was in the Hellenistic tradition. Different authors mention them. Almost every author mentions some form of quadrant division. But the dispute at this point in time is that it seems like the majority of the historians and scholars think that that was being used as a secondary system and Holstein houses was being used as the primary system. So that's a point that you can argue.
The problem is that, you know, that the people that are leading with this argument are people that are heavily invested in, for the most part, probably not true. It's certainly not true for somebody like Dorian Greenbaum, but still, I know that Dorian Greenbaum was somebody that was very much into the Project Hindsight movement when it began and, you know, learned through the conclaves and, you know, took up that whole viewpoint. I think it is quite difficult for people that have been very heavily invested in Project Hindsight material to not in some way pick up some of the bias. And you seem to feel that I have a bias in the other direction, but really I don't feel that I have a reason to have a bias, because I don't claim that the house system that I use is the one that I would even do, you know, take up a game from the beginning. If I knew then what I knew now, I would use a different house system than the one I actually use. And I'm quite honest about that. But the fact is that I've got a custom and practice and this works for me. So I have no reason to change. So I'm not attached to any particular type of system.
So you are arguing then, in effect, that everybody else is biased because of what they got into first, but you're the only one that's not biased in some sense.
No. And really, I'm not the only person that's making these points either.
Who else is making this? Well, I see a lot of your other SkyScript moderators. So a lot of people on SkyScript seem to have adopted your views, I've noticed recently.
I don't think they've adopted my views. I think that there's, you know, SkyScript has a lot of interesting debate from all kinds of different astrologers, and with each with their independent views. And it tends to act as a meeting ground for people that have seriously looked at the issue. So you've got somebody like Martin Ganston, for example, who, you know, there's no influence that Martin Ganston is getting from me, except perhaps if I put an interesting piece of text up there, he might find that interesting. But he's, you know, and these people are all independent. We don't hang around in a bunch. You know, anything that goes on in SkyScript is what you see on the page and what you contribute to yourself. So
I'm just saying that your arguments have been influential with people that pay attention to your work, that's all.
Okay, so I would really like to get onto this this piece of this quote from Valance, because, you know, Chris, you said that yesterday when we spoke about this, you said this was known about years ago, but actually it wasn't.
Which one?
What I want to look at is, you know, there's two interesting references in Valance, because here's a point I have to make, that we have a whole, you know, abundance of texts in the tradition that make it clear to us that there was knowledge of quadrant systems, there was explanations that in order to calculate your houses, this is what you do. You say that all of those were only meant for certain techniques. Doesn't even make sense to me from the start. Why? Why would you go to the trouble of being specific about a certain technique and then not for anything else? Doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, then I just kind of like, okay, I'll leave it. Big question mark over it.
Sure. So that, I mean, that's an objection. So that's your objection to the argument about that, you know, that astrologers may have used quadrant or other forms of house division like equal houses for specific techniques, but not used it more widely. You don't think that makes
sense? I don't think it makes sense for an astrologer to say that, you know, we calculate the houses one way when we're generally judging a chart, and then for something that needs, you know, very careful attention, then and only then do you bother to do it, you know, quite precisely, especially when you're talking about texts that throughout the texts give us constant reminders that they teach these principles in generalities, but errors are made if careful attention is not given to the degree and to giving precise calculations. So, you know, I think that has to be borne in mind. And you know, I want to get on to this example from Valens, because Valens is the one who's really, it's his case notes of charts that appear to show that whatever was said in theory, in practice at least, Valens appears to take this this approach of just going with the signs are representative of the houses, which sure. could, of course, just very simply be explained by the fact that we're talking about an era where it was, you know, it was complex business to know what time it was, let alone, you know, do all the hourly calculations. He did not, you know, Ptolemy's works that gave the tables that were needed for calculations wasn't available around that period. So he didn't have easy access. And, you know, he does say, I talk in generalities, but, you know, the details are important. So we have no reason to expect that he must calculate each chart example precisely, when what he's trying to demonstrate is a certain technique that doesn't hinge on that matter. But however, Valens has become the definition of the reason why we believe the whole sign argument so strongly, because he is the one that gives us most of the charts. We don't have a lot of material outside of Valens. We have scraps here and scraps there, but Valens is the treasure trove of charts that demonstrate this. And, you know, take into consideration that all of this are coming from the work of one astrologer. So the possibility of misunderstanding what the whole situation was in that era is huge when all you're basing it on is one individual's work.
Well, Valens has the most chart examples, but he's not the only text in Hellenistic astrology. I mean, there's other huge texts like Firmicus, Ptolemy, Paulus.
There's with Valens in terms of, you know, the chart examples that are offered. And when you look at Firmicus, I can't see why anybody would argue anything but that Firmicus is using an equal house system, because this just doesn't make sense. You know.
Well, that's fine, but Hand and Holden both have argued that he did in the majority of his work, so you'll have to take that up with them.
I don't know that. With Hand, you see, Hand tried to make an argument that that Firmicus's work could be interpreted in a different way if you shift your emphasis on this. And again, it was something that he looked at, but wasn't convincing. I don't think there's a convincing argument there. But again, Hand wasn't at that time aware of this passage in Valens, which was in the eighth book of Valens, the one book that Project Hindsight never translated. So let's also remember that when Valens was started this translation of Valens, you know, there was a number of texts, they were complicated texts, and really, you know, they were making assumptions from the early volumes of the work, being unaware until quite late on in the process, I would imagine, of the references that were in the later volumes of work that actually completely contradicted the points that they were making about the work in the first place. So there's,
I mean, that's true to some extent, although Schmidt read ahead in the Greek text, and you can see him doing that by referencing later books of Valens. Like, he referenced a quote from book 9 of Valens when he was still hadn't published translations past like book 4 or 5 or something.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, to some extent, well, he was already aware.
I don't know. But the fact is that most of us did not have book 9 available until Mark Riley made it available giving up his translation. And it's in book 9 that, you know, you've got sections there that really have to be, you know, give what he said in other passages a different light. And Han did not have this material available when he published his paper. So, you know, I think we have to look at this again in the light that some of the evidence might have caused Han to, you know, not be as convinced as he was had he known about this material later. And I do know that Robert Hand, you know, has said to me in conversation, so that's the situation now, is it? Well, nobody informed me about that. So, you know, I think that whatever Schmidt's position was, Hand had to wait until whatever was released was released. What we get.
So one passage of Valens has completely changed Rob's entire interpretation of the Hellenistic tradition.
There's actually three passages in Valens where he gives details about, you know, not. The point I didn't make earlier that I wanted to make, Chris, is that we do not have throughout anywhere in the whole tradition despite all the thousands of examples of astrologers telling us, you know, how to calculate houses, there is not one single text, not one astrologer anywhere that tells us in order to use the houses, what you do is you put the signs on the houses. There is not one theoretical argument or piece of instruction that tells us that theoretically we should be using signs for houses. Not one. So we have to, you know, bear that in mind and consider the possibility that when there seemed to be a very simplified approach being taken, it was for practical convenience because it made sense because the latitude wouldn't make a lot of difference to them anyway. You know, maybe they didn't even know the time. That degree of precision wasn't necessary unless you're going to do something like try and calculate the length of life, and then it certainly was. But there's other things too that, you know, astrologers will strive for precision if they can. Now, in Balance, what we have is three sections. One where he talks about the use of porphyry, which is the one that's been analysed in the past, and where the argument was made that I think what they were doing was they were just doing this for length of life calculations. But we also have two other sections in Balance, and one is in the fifth book, where he talks about how one place can hold two signs. And this is something that cross-references with what we see in Mashahala, where he also talks, you know, Mashahala seems to be following Valens in the use of what Mashahala does is he might judge a chart and he'll look at where the positions are with the planets in terms of the quadrant houses, but then he will also look at how it impacts on what he calls the places by counting. Now, to understand what Mashahala is doing.
Right, so they're using quadrant houses and whole sign houses at the same time.
Apparently. But what
that's what everyone argues.
Is following what Valens is telling us. And I think there's two very important passages in Valens that really need to be looked at again. And the first one is where he introduces it. And, you know, you can... I don't know if I can get it handy, but you know, he talks about, you know, how this one place can hold two signs. Can you just give me 1 minute and I'll see if I've got it handy.
I mean, you can pull it up if you want, but we could just refer to it because I know the passages in Valens where he talks about these things.
Yeah, I know that you know it, but I think it's something that's anyway. I don't have it to hand. But anyway, that was known about, and also clearly Schmidt knew something about what was in Book 9 because when he did his introduction to Ptolemy's Tetrabiblus, he made a very brief quote from some of the information that is available in Book 9, but he cut that quote short so that, you know, when you read it, it doesn't seem to do much more than what Valens does in Chapter 5. But then when you actually see what's in Book 9, you know, I just can't see how anybody, I know that you don't, you have different views on this, but let's just look at what Valens is doing because most people don't bother to check these texts.
So he introduces equal houses in Book 9 within the context of doing derivative houses.
Well, no, let's just look at what he does because he starts off this chapter and this chapter is about the 12 places. So it's like this is where he really focuses and gives attention to the issue of, you know, what the houses, what they mean and how they are calculated.
Well, he actually does that actually much earlier in the book, in Book 2 of the anthology is when he first introduces the houses. This is a much later treatment that treats it in a specific...
And it's a lot fuller and, you know, he...
No, it's actually fuller earlier because he gives actual delineations for what each of the planets means when they're in the houses in Book 2.
Okay, but, you know, that is material that you've got to read a lot to extrapolate. Here he has a section that is specifically dedicated to the issue of the 12 places. And, you know, he starts off by saying that this is material that he's got from ancient Egyptian sources, and he gives the 12 houses and, you know, he gives explanation of what each of the 12 places, we should say places because that is more correct, what they mean and what their interpretations and their significations are, in a way that any astrologer will look at that list and immediately have a sense of, I totally connect with what he's put in there with what I can understand in the medieval tradition right up to modern day. So he gives the meaning of each house and what it would mean if you turn the chart. So, for example, if you're looking at the ninth house, this is the house of God, of foreign lands. And in terms of, you know, relative to the seventh house, it becomes the place of brothers because it's the third house from the seventh house. And so,
right, so derivative houses.
Yeah, a pretty non-controversial, easily digestible explanation of what each of the 12 houses means. And then he goes on to say from that, that, you know, when you chart these places, what you need to do is you need to look at what the planets in them are benefic or malefic. You need to look if these places are in moist signs or... and you need to look at the star signs that they coincide with and whether these signs, so the zodiac signs, whether they're tropical, solid, moist, etc., etc. And then he says, but first of all, it's necessary to calculate the positions of the places in degrees. And he gives very, very clear, specific instruction that we count these degrees from the point of the ascendant and that each place runs 30 degrees from the point of the ascendant, and that first 30 degrees from the ascendant is the place of life. Then you count another 30 degrees to get the place of livelihood. So each house is 30 degrees in length. But this is what's really relevant, because then he says, often two places will fall in one sign and will indicate both qualities according to the number of degrees each one occupies. And so he makes it very, very clear that one place, one house of the chart will usually cross over two signs. And he goes on to say that it's very rare that one house, one place, will only hold one sign. And when that happens, it's not a good thing to happen because he gives a negative indication of that. I mean, I know you know this passage, but what seems pretty clear to me is this is straightforward stuff. If he was to say this is what is used in the calculation of life, he would put it there, and he doesn't. What he says is, you know, he gives this explanation of this is the approach you take, and you use this also in the proper determination of chronicators. And, you know, you use them in all the ways that we would expect to use them. So, you know, there's this passage in Valence, which is very clear, really, in showing a support for what we would recognize as an equal house system.
Right. And nobody disputes that. I mean, Valence clearly outlines equal houses here. He does it within the context of his only discussion of derivative houses, and he may be quoting, it's suspected, an earlier author named Asclepius, who he mentions at the very beginning of the paragraph. But the problem you have here is two things. One, much earlier in the anthology, he, within the context of the length of life treatment, outlined porphyry houses. So that means he's outlined porphyry houses and he's outlined equal houses now. And then you have a third issue, which is that in all of his example charts, as Rob Hand has showed, if you try to apply porphyry or equal houses, they don't line up with the placements. Only whole sign houses matches what he's doing in the vast majority of his chart examples. Well, so that's the reason why some people have come to the conclusion that certain forms of house division are introduced within the context of certain topics. So he's introduced equal houses here within the context of derivative houses, and earlier he introduced porphyry within the context of the length of life treatment. How do you reconcile the fact that he's introduced equal houses and porphyry? Which one do you think is Valens's preferred form of house division, then, if you're focused on this passage?
The point is that, for one thing, what we ought to acknowledge is the fact that a lot of these decisions that were made before people were aware of this. So, I mean, this may have impact on people's feeling that they should have gone from the start by saying that only whole sign houses were used in the early tradition and putting that point out.
No one's ever made that assertion aside from maybe the early days of Project Hindsight, but yeah, that was quickly rectified by 1995, 1996, okay, which is only like a year or two later.
You also endorse it, Chris, when you give presentations that tell us that all...
That it's the dominant form of house division, which is still true in what I see from Valens, which is that in the vast majority of the chart examples, he uses whole sign houses, even if in these two chapters, within the context of specific techniques, he seems to introduce two separate house systems.
The other point that you made, like, he's introduced porphyry and here he's introduced equal house. So what do we make of that? Well, first of all, what I want to see is, you know, proper evaluation of these kind of issues. I don't want the firm conclusions to be drawn at a stage where there's so much material out there that is being unearthed that has yet to be. I mean, like, so many conclusions drawn on mainly based on one astrologer's approach and the fact that we suffer from lack of chart examples to know exactly what all the other astrologers were doing, except we know that so many of them were telling us that what we should do is calculate by degree. So when you look at something like Ptolemy's definition, which appears to show this equal house 30 degrees, each house is 30 degrees, in order to get a sense of what that could mean, and I don't know that it means this because, you know, I can only judge from his words the same as everybody else has, but we have the reports of authors, you know, in texts such as Antiochus, who tell us what Ptolemy was saying was only meant to apply as a general principle. And that then go on to explain that where you have those situations where the mid-heaven doesn't make a 90-degree angle to the ascendant, what you are supposed to do is divide it by a quadrant system and, you know, calculate by degree. So it is quite possible that, you know, a lot of these... I don't know, Chris. I don't pretend to know. Certainly we have textual evidence for the use of equal house. We have textual evidence for the... we have many, many references telling us that what we should do when we calculate the houses is do things to make divisions of time and space and not use... And there is not a single recommendation that is given to us by any astrologer in the Western tradition that I'm aware of that has said what you conceptually should do is use the signs of the zodiac because the signs are supposed to represent the places. There's actually a really interesting piece in Valens that, you know, is only properly understood by putting it...
Really quickly before you get into that, so because you've made that assertion a couple of times.
Because I just don't have, although I have the paper somewhere, I can't put my hands on it right now. So unless we took a break and let me find it and dwelt on that more. But then I guess, there's things... Other points that we should probably move on to. It's a really important...
So quickly, you've made the comment a couple of times that because one of your arguments you've made is that because whole sign houses is not explicitly explained as how to calculate the houses in a text in the same way that they go through and deliberately and sort of laboriously explain how to calculate different forms of quadrant division, that means that it didn't exist or that it wasn't the primary system. But the problem is that you can see in the charts that that's what they're doing, and it's the only system that accounts for many of the chart positions. And then furthermore, it became the dominant system of house division in India ever since for the past almost 2,000 years. And that's also arguably because whole sign houses was the dominant system in the Hellenistic tradition when Hellenistic astrology was transmitted to India, which is another piece of evidence to bolster that argument. So,
you know, when you say they didn't give laborious explanations of how to, you know, match up signs with zodiac houses, it wouldn't need a laborious explanation, would it? Because it would...
No, because it's taken for granted. It's such a simple thing that you understand it.
Don't assume you take things for granted because they cover pretty much everything. And, you know, so there's very little that is expected to be taken for granted. The absence...
They don't cover everything. And that's why Porphyry even said in the introduction that he wrote his introduction is he says, Ptolemy talks about all these advanced concepts, but he never even gives an introduction where he defines his basic terminology. And Valens refers to a book of like introductory material that never shows up in the anthology that we were supposed to have read before we got the anthology.
And we don't have access to all the material that, you know, would really put us in a more informed position. And that's the truth.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that we can't form conclusions. else, though, and everybody else is forming conclusions about the material by reading it, whereas you're trying to push for more uncertainty surrounding everything. And within that sort of gap of uncertainty, you're trying to suggest then that quadrant houses was more prevalent than it was, or than it appears to be according to other people.
Look, I don't know is the simple answer, and I wouldn't pretend that I do know.
Well, you are, though, suggesting.
Let me go back to a point that, you know, when I was saying, let me stress this. I'm not talking about one astrologer failing to, you know, explain something because it's presumed the reader will know this already or take it for granted, which is what we could have with anything else. But there is no other technique that is completely, utterly, you know, not acknowledged in a single text anywhere. And this is what I'm saying is the point with whole sign. There isn't anybody anywhere that says theoretically what you are supposed to do is just use the sign.
They all do. They all do implicitly. And it's in every single chart. It's in not just implicitly.
In practice. But
we have hundreds of surviving chart examples of them using whole sign houses, just the same as if we had like 100 examples of them using porphyry cusps.
I don't know, like, but, you know, when you say there's hundreds, because I would imagine that there's quite a few that you would look at, and I might take a different view on it.
It would be really hard to look at a chart that just lists the rising sign and the planets and the signs and interpret that to have any other form of house division than the only one that they could calculate based on that, which would be whole sign houses.
Yes, but then as I've already said, that there's a number of examples in Greek horoscopes where, you know, there seems to be evidence that they were calculated. I mean, one of the earliest literary horoscopes that we have, one of the earliest from, you know, has this curiosity that Nergebauer and Vaartenhuizen can't understand, because the way that the information is presented is given in the 12-fold sequence of the houses, so that each house, you know, should be allocated a sign. But when you get to the fourth sign, the fourth sign, they can't understand, because two signs are listed there, and there's this strange notation that they've never seen it, and it appears again, and they're saying, like, hey, we have the same problem with the house 10. There's a lacuna for, you know, the information that should be there for house 10, so we can't clearly see what house 10 says, except that you know that there is this strange marker that appears there that is also in house 4, which they can't understand why have they gone 1, 2, one is Gemini, 2 is Cancer, 4 is, you know, oh, they've got 2 signs there, that doesn't make sense, and then carry on, and, you know, and we're back to something that would make perfect sense if what has happened is the use of a quadrant division. But because the mentality is not there to see the possibility of that, it's just written off as an anomaly. So, you know, there are interesting examples that are quite frankly beyond me to, you know, to dissect. And what we need is, you know, people to get more involved in this. And if there is a will to really understand what the ancient astrologers were doing, pieces like this would have been explored. Now, what happens on Skyscript is that interesting references get brought up for attention. And it's one of the places where, you know, people will put this. But even so, I've observed that the astrological community doesn't really want to look at this. You know, most of us are practicing astrologers, very happy with our techniques. And a lot of astrologers have adopted whole sign as their chosen technique, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. And I do understand how, in order to do the practice of astrology, you don't really want to be concerned about, and is this valid? It's valid because it works for you. You know, it works for you. And there comes a point where, you know, we have now got a whole sign house system, because I see it as a modern development in the tradition. The
fact that, you don't think that it existed in ancient astrology?
The idea that people were just associating house signs, house meanings with signs, and using them in that way, was definitely there in the material. There's no doubt about it. And I'm never making
then in what way can it be characterized as a modern development?
The fact that there was no theoretical approval of that until modern times until after, the development of the Project Hindsight material, which wasn't simply a translation project, but also went hand in hand with a whole new school of thinking about astrology, of trying to buy astrologers into that way of this is the way to do your astrology, learn, you know, our techniques, and we're not really opening up this discussion. You come into this project and develop these, you know, so it's all gone hand in hand, not just with, it's not been a project that exclusively and from a completely independent position analyzed the material without trying to draw some, you know, a technique that they want to popularize or give a sense of authority to.
And that's a valid point to some extent. And I'm not going to try to defend, you know, Project Hindsight or the sort of the thinking and the systemization that sometimes occurs there surrounding that. However, there were people working outside of that independently, such as Holden, who came to his own conclusions based on his own translations. Uh-huh. And there are other people that are not associated with Project Hindsight, and I think would declare that very loudly, like Dorian Greenbaum or like Joseph Crane, who, even if they may have studied some of that material.
I know that Dorian had a lot of involvement with the Project Hindsight in the early days. And, I think that she would like to, you know, be known and genuinely does deserve. She's an independent scholarly thinker. But all the people that you are mentioning, Chris, were all people that were, you know, very heavily committed themselves to the Project Hindsight project when it was at its beginning, and, you know, got a huge amount of people raptured with what they were doing, and I'm very enthusiastic for it. So, you know,
that's fine, but I think that's a very
Crane is not
problem.
Independent
I think that's,
that, you know, that movement that happened at that time.
Sure, and you can say that Hand and Schmidt's arguments colored a lot of people's thinking, but I still think it's a little bit problematic to say that all of our thinking has been clouded by Project Hindsight or by Schmidt or everyone else, and that you're the only one.
Oh no, I really don't want to say that.
I'm just saying, be careful about
that, because as you say, there's other astrologers that have contributed to the Skyscript Forum, and people that are looking, but we're all very, very busy with our lives. And, you know, I mean, I have an absolute fascination in understanding what ancient astrologers were doing and astrologers of all periods. So, you know, this is of huge interest to me, but I know that I'm not qualified. I'm seeing anomalies and I always have seen anomalies from, you know, from the start when people were saying this message. It started off with a clear message that, you know, all the ancient astrologers were using whole sign. But we're in a position now where we can see that was a presumptuous position to take. For anything that went wrong in that, there were 1,000 other benefits that came out of it. So I don't even want to sound like, you know, this was a bad thing that happened, because, you know, it drove a lot of interest into texts. And I have texts in my possession now that have been translated from Robert Schmidt, which I am so grateful for, because how would I get them otherwise? But, you know, certainly there has been a process of we expect to see something, and there's a lot of material that it really needs attention, but because it's not in those texts and it's not got the central focus of the community, it's kind of getting ignored.
I think there's many specialists in Hellenistic astrology that have examined those texts. I don't think anyone is just taking Schmidt or Hand's word for it if they're actually digging into the material and looking at it, and people are forming specific conclusions.
So
part of the reason we're having this debate, though, is because
person that's making this argument. I mean, you say that I'm trying to make out I'm the only person that's seeing it in this way, and I don't think that's true at all. I think that I'm speaking to somebody as a representative of a fair number of people who have difficulty in buying wholesale this idea that, whole sign houses was the original, it was the intended, and all the astrologers used it, when there are so many passages that just, you know, don't fit into that mold.
I think, and all I'm saying is that you are the only authority that I'm aware of.
Well, I'm not even an authority because I'm just a horror astrologer with an amateur interest.
Well, you wrote a book on the houses. To the extent that you did, you're viewed as an authority. So I was saying that you're the only authority that I'm aware of that argues this far for quadrant houses being as prevalent in the ancient tradition and whole sign houses not being the dominant or the original system of house division. But part of the reason we're having this debate, and I invited you to come on, is because you specifically said that most, if not all, of my arguments in my lecture on whole sign houses were false. And so I wanted to give you a chance to debate the specific points that you thought were false. But I want it to be clear that if you're calling me and my arguments out as false, you're also calling out the arguments of Hand and Schmidt and Crane and Greenbaum and other people who hold the same opinion.
That's just, you know, what I said was that the presentation of the delivery of your presentation was so biased and so like complex. I don't have a problem with, I think, you know, the work that James Holden does, everybody should read it. And yet when I hear through your summary what James Holden was supposed to have stated and proved, I'm shocked because, you know, you put in words in his mouth that he never made.
No, he did make those words.
You have quoted him as saying that all of the ancient astrologers were using whole sign, and James Holden never said that. And neither was...
Okay. Then let's just encourage the audience to read Holden's original paper, to read his book, A History of Horoscopic Astrology, and to read other works by Holden. And I feel confident that they will see that he does in fact state that it was the original form of house division.
In the paper, he makes a reference to, you know, he mentions five different methods of house division that were prevalent in the ancient period. And as he introduces them, he says the first one is the sign equals house. And then he moves on to equal house. And then he moves on to Porphyry. Then he moves on to Alcibiades. And, you know, he gives a fair summary and assessment of what was available and being used in the ancient period, but in that paper.
And just really quickly, I'm looking at page 15 of A History of Horoscopic Astrology, his book published in 1996. And in footnote 17, he says that the sign house system, quote unquote, this is my own name for the original system of horoscopic houses. So I am not putting words in James's mouth, and it really bothers me when you make that accusation because people take what you're saying seriously.
Does he say all of the ancient astrologers used it? Does he say this is the original system that all of the astrologers were using? Because this is the information you gave out in your presentation.
Yes, I have a separate quote from Holden where it says it was the original system, and it seems to have been the primary one used for the first 500 years of horoscopic astrology. Therefore, you saying that what I'm saying is false or that I'm attributing false words to Holden really is inappropriate within that context. And I would appreciate if you would not say that. It's okay if you disagree or if you have a different interpretation, but do not say that I'm making disingenuous arguments. Just say that you disagree with them or that you have a different interpretation, and that's fine.
Okay, well, you know, I don't want this to be something that is exclusively on that point, but the point that I do have to make, Chris, is that within the context of a presentation where not just that point was made, but it was presented after, you know, an argument that conceptually this is what houses are supposed to be, and, you know, your other points qualify that. So, for example, I think it is a good idea to move on. And, you know, like one of the points that you make is the fact that, you know, only the whole sign approach makes sense of the significations that we give to the houses.
Sure. This is an area where we have a good legitimate disagreement, because I know you have actually a really good point to make on this, where you could make in favor of quadrant houses.
You know, because as you cover that material, and you know, the points that you make are very valid. In one of the things that we need to consider is the fact that I would call it the aspectual connections that, you know, these regions are, in an idealistic sense, would be expected to make the ascendant. And of course, the use of a sign will cover a house does marry very nicely with that sense of idealistically it would. But because you focused only on that, you make points that then don't make sense in terms of our understanding of the houses. So there's no reference that you made to the fact that health signification very much takes into account the act of rising, the act of culminating, the fact that a planet is rising in the sphere or that it's already reached the midheaven and it's retiring towards the descendant. All those details, which are about the emphasis of the angles and planets reaching angles or declining from them, is, you know, it's right there in the center of what the houses mean. So right. When you talk about the meaning of the sixth house, for you, it is, you know, there's no concept of the fact that its meaning has... Or certainly, I think in your mind there actually is. But what you failed to get over in the presentation was that, you know, this act of the houses, you know, trying what I would say that they conceptually try to do is get the quality of the space around us. Now, we always have a problem with house division, and this is why I'm never going to argue in favour of one house as opposed to another, because pretty much every house system we have has to grapple with a difficult, inherently flawed concept, which is what we're trying to do is mark the quality of the space around us and the rising and the retiring of the planets, and that's then squeeze that, you know, circular vision of what is happening through an oblique circle that we use as our primary system of astrological analysis. So you are always going to have this inherent problem of houses, you know, not being as ideal as they should be, unless you do something like adopt an equal house method or a whole sign adaptation that you're using. But still, you know, the arguments that you said when you said only whole sign supports the signification of the houses doesn't stand up, because actually what supports the meaning that we draw from houses is the fact that, you know, a planet in the 10th house is culminating. So, you know, this whole sense of being risen, being at its highest place, you know, being repute on the place where we applaud people, and being at the top. So these things are important too, and they, you know, the whole sign doesn't make sense of that. It actually kind of contradicts it.
Sure, yeah, I think that's a great counterpoint. I mean, I do want to be clear that in that slide, what I said is that many of the core significations of the houses were developed in the whole sign framework, and so there's many significations that I think only make sense in that framework, but you're right to then raise the point, well, the counterargument is that there's some significations that may only make sense in a quadrant house framework because of that process of rising and culminating and setting and moving away from the angles or towards the angles, which is something I think you talked about in your book, right?
Yeah, I mean, the point of my book was to look at all the different things that could have that fed into, you know, this sense of, well, where do the meanings come from? And quite clearly, you know, I would say, like, down beneath everything else is this sense of a cycle of rising on the ascendant, culminating on the midheaven, retiring and losing light on the descendant, and then, you know, having this transition point at the IC. So, you know, this whole sense of connection with angularity is so vital. And also, so this is what I guess if I had a practitioner's concern about whole sign, although, as I said, you know, I don't want this to sound like I have issues. There was so much in your presentation that I did enjoy, Chris, and I hope that we don't run out of time, that I get to the point where I think, you know, you did a really brilliant job in demonstrating the efficacy of what you yourself do as an astrologer through using whole sign. And I totally, you know, one of the things I ought to say, because I really think I should say this in case we run out of time and I don't, I found listening to your presentation a very interesting experience, because I heard some of it and in my heart was like, oh, why? You know, why are we having a best and why has this not happened? And so there was definitely parts, and, you know this, that, you know, I just felt that there was a It was disappointing to me to hear it, but there were other parts where I was thinking, do you know, I get it now. I really get why people, you know, can be so sold on this system and get so excited about it. And I think, you know, through seeing your delivery of, you know, what you do and your enthusiasm for the technique, has shown me something that I think is kind of got given me a respect for practitioners that do enjoy using this. And I'm really pleased that Geoffrey made the points that he did yesterday, because I think that, you know, without anybody that's listening to us ought to, in fact, for every reason, listen to the podcast that you had with Geoffrey Cornelius. It was so important. But ought to understand the points that he was making that, you know, you can, the beauty of the technique lies in what the astrologer makes of it. And, you know, that you do something quite wonderful with your use of whole sign houses. It would never work for me. It would never work for many astrologers, I think, that, you know, don't go into the whole system that is part of your package. And I don't think your system is the only system that works. I think there's other systems, and there's many beautiful things that are being done in astrology. Sure. And I would never be somebody that would, you know, want to be doing the things that you are doing, because it's just not my path. But I think you do a wonderful job with it. But even so, as a practitioner, I have certain questions and the reason why it wouldn't work for me so much. And one of them, I guess, if I can bring this up, is this idea of, to me, the use of whole sign houses has a danger of demoting the value of angularity. Mm-hmm. And and what you get with the quadrant systems is you get a very clear focus on the power and the importance of angularity. Now, you recognize it in your suggestion that when you've done what you're doing with your whole sign, it might, you know, the next stage of development for you might be to look at how you reconcile that with the use of quadrant houses in order to bring in this recognition of strength and power and other things. My argument, I guess, would be, I don't see the sense of that. I recognise that some people like to do that, and that's fine. But, you know, myself, I can't see the point. If you've got a good house system and it works for you, I don't think there's a need to then, you know, look at two house systems simultaneously. I can't see what benefit you would get. But that's a personal view. So just, like, let me be clear, this is my personal view.
Sure.
The idea of the demotion of the importance of angularity is a concern for me, because I would say that throughout my working life as an astrologer, and people have heard me said this, if I had only one thing that I would, you know, could leave behind and even have it on my gravestone, is always take notice of angular planets. Planets on angles are so important. And the very, you know, the use and the understanding of the houses, and the fact that those houses, those significations, are so clearly drawn from this sense of, is a planet gaining strength by moving towards the angle? Is it in strength because it's on the angle? Is it, you know, like the eighth house, it's going into a period of decline and death because it's lost that strength, it's in it unaspected, you know, connecting with what you were saying, but it's also, it's retiring towards the descendant. So to me, yeah, there was a whole, you know, other side. So to say that only whole sign houses make sense of our understanding of house meanings, for me, like, it just would end with a no. And I think you get that already.
Yeah, and I think that's a hugely important piece of this. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, because I thought you'd make a good case of that. And I think you are, which is one of the components that I didn't get into in the lecture, because I didn't want to go into all of the theoretical principles underlying how the significations of the houses are developed. But one of the things that I talk about in other lectures or other papers that I've written is that idea that you're talking about, that some of the house significations are derived from this idea of focusing on what Schmidt refers to as angular triads, which is just the houses that are at an angle or the two houses flanking an angle, so that you have planets
that
are moving.
They're rising to power, they're declining from power, because houses should be seen as, you know, the three sets of houses should be like the angles should always be in the center of them.
Right. Yeah. So they're centered on the angles, and you have planets either moving up to an angle or moving away from an angle. And, you know, in the whole sign framework, I conceptualize that as planets in signs that are either moving away from or coming towards angles in an idealized framework. But in a quadrant framework, you're dealing with that much more directly because of the use of the midheaven.
Yeah, so it brings that point out. And I think that for me, I don't see it as a, you know, it's a point against the use of whole signs for me as a practitioner, but it also impacts on my not being able to see the logic when people... and certainly the argument, as you rightly say, was made by others before you. So you have, you know, other people's of authoritative standing in order to say, well, other people have said this. So, you know, I felt quite confident in saying that.
Well, I'm not of what? The
Of the fact that, I don't know, I've just forgotten what I was saying, Chris.
Okay, no problem. yeah, I mean, I think that... it's just in the context of whole signs, it's more of an idealized framework of using the rising sign and then the 10th sign relative to that as the 10th whole sign house. And then you have one sign that's moving away from that, one that's moving up towards it. So I understand, though, from an astronomical perspective, how somebody could be much more compelling about focusing on the midheaven.
That's one of the reasons why I look at these, you know, well, maybe they were doing this to this. And it doesn't make sense to me, because to me, I just, you know, understanding the meaning of the houses as I do and what was, you know, the thinking behind them, then it doesn't make any sense to me at all that they wouldn't put the emphasis on the angles and wanting, you know, to connect the principles that we attach to the 10th house with the angle that, you know, generates those symbolic connections.
Sure. And what I pointed out in my lecture, at least, even though I didn't go into a lot of other nuances, is that in the whole sign and Hellenistic framework, I think that they recognized both. They would use the 10th whole sign house, but they'd also pay attention to the degree of the MC as a sensitive point that would import 10th house significations into other whole sign houses. So it's not that I don't recognize that. I'm just not only using that.
I actually have a different view on that, but I cannot qualify it at the moment, I'm afraid, because this reference that I wanted is, I can't put my hands on it, but it's probably something that I need to put together another time. But one of the points that I wanted to ask you, and shifting the direction a little bit, but keeping on this idea of angularity, and it was kind of spark for me because I saw something that Tom Callanan wrote in response to your Facebook post, and, you know, it seemed that you had a very positive impression on him with what you did in your podcast. And, you know, he was saying that he's going to take it seriously now again because of that. And afterwards, I was thinking about a comment that he made, because he said something about what's selling this for him is the fact that the Donald Trump horoscope doesn't make sense to him without it. I couldn't understand why he was saying what he was saying, but basically what he's saying is Donald Trump, as you know, has a very, very late ascendant at 2958 Leo. You know, it's like if he's born 30 seconds later, it's in Virgo. And he has Mars rising on the ascendant around 27 Leo.
Sure, on the 12th house side of the ascendant.
Yeah, so Tom said something about this doesn't make sense in a quadrant system unless you include this 5-degree orb. And, you know, I just thought, well, why wouldn't you include the 5-degree orb when all, you know, so many traditional authorities tell us that we should? And the reason for it is to acknowledge the influence of the angles and the fact that when a planet is near an angle, that resonance, you know, really counts. It's a planet on an angle is so very resonant. It doesn't end the second that it moves crosses the mathematical point of the angle. There's like, it doesn't make sense astrologically to think that it would. So I couldn't understand, you know, like why he would say, unless you did this, because to me, you know, seeing a quadrant house system and using the 5-degree orb makes perfect sense of that Mars on the ascendant. But what it made me think about was if this had been, if it had been 30 seconds later and, you know, his ascendant had immediately fallen into the first degree of Virgo. So would that mean that, you know, this Mars on this the Ascendant, you know, within 2 or 3 degrees would not get recognition of its power because it's now in a very weak place and it doesn't connect to the Ascendant.
No, I mean, it'd still be within orb of a conjunction of the Ascendant, so it'd still be relevant.
So that's fine, because this seemed to me that from, you know, the demonstration that you were giving, that, you know, they would, if it moves into a sign, that's it. Everything changes then. And so, you know, like, I was curious to know, like, if a planet is in the sign that is not on the Ascendant, but just behind it, would this whole sign approach that you're advocating still recognize the power of angularity of that planet, or would it not, because it's not in the same sign?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would still be relevant. I didn't get into that because those are sort of unique cases where you have a planet right at the end of the sign, but still within orb of conjoining the Ascendant. And I don't think Donald Trump is a good example necessarily that Tom was using, because it's within that 5-degree orb, so it really could go either way being relevant. But it would have been a better example if the Ascendant was extremely late in Leo and Mars was extremely early, because then you have a much more stark difference about, you know, is this a 12th house Mars or is this a first house Mars? And that's one of the ways that I encourage people to test the system and see if it works, or to test whole sign houses and see if it comes off to them as a first house Mars or a 12th house Mars. Obviously, their conclusion to that is going to be somewhat subjective, but to me, at least, that's always been an impressive way to attempt to check it, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's not even something that was part of your podcast anyway. It was just something that, for me, I think, you know, conceptually, this whole notion of angularity is the key issue. And we can lose sight of that if we get into, you know, like this house system or quadrant house system. Because if a system allows the recognition of the importance of angularity, then it's doing its job. But, you know, angularity is so important, and there has to be a way to bring that in.
Sure. I definitely think that's a major component that needs to be considered. And that's a huge area where quadrant houses really bring something to the debate, and where there's something to really argue for because of, you know, as you explained, the astronomical situation involving the midheaven.
Yeah, so one of the points that you made in your presentation was the fact that using whole sign, you know, it provides the solution to the fact that there's too many house systems to choose from. Well, I guess you could say that with any of them, couldn't you? You could just say, if you just use this house system, you don't have to worry about the rest.
Well, I mean, part of the point there was that it solves a dispute that only seemed to really get going once we moved away further away from whole signs, from my perspective, or based on what I understand about the history, that wasn't as much of a dispute in the earlier part of the tradition, although certainly there were different systems being used, but there weren't, you know, 20 or 30 different systems of quadrant house division in the whole sign tradition.
Well, this is one of the places where I felt you overstated the case, because whilst you weren't necessarily incorrect, you know, to kind of like say we've got this problem of, you know, this 20-30 house systems to choose from. Do we really? I mean, I can't name 20 different systems of houses. I can't, you know, I can't. Do we really have this problem?
Well, there's probably what, something like 10 or 12 major ones that are commonly used.
I wouldn't say 10 or 12 major ones, unless you really are, you know, very broad vision. Certainly Holden would, you know, and different people would, I would say maybe half a dozen have been serious contenders. And within them, maybe 3 or 4 at any time, you know, there's never been this we've got 30 different options for you.
Well, no, I mean, Ben, I checked this with Ben before I gave the talk, and Ben actually cited me a specific work on house division that cited 20 different systems in the medieval period. So it did exist. Now, whether all of those were used as prominently, certainly not. But part of the issue there is that sometimes the reason that a specific approach to house division becomes popular is not necessarily practical, or that it's working better or something, but sometimes it's just sociological. Like, yeah. Holden arguing that Placidus became prominent in the 20th century because that was one of the only ones that tables were available for is more of a sociological, I guess, motivation or practical one than a technical reason.
Well, yeah, but then you have to ask, well, why were the tables available for Placidus? You know, what created that demand for the Placidus table? tables, when previously, you know, in the 17th century, the only tables available were the regiomontanus ones, but something created that shift. And, you know, that's one of the points that I make myself in my coverage of the pros and cons of different house divisions in my book, that, you know, one of the... It's a fact that, you know, Placidus is one of the favourite, is the most popular house system. And possibly the reason for that is because of the easy accessibility of the table. But that undervalues the fact that philosophically there's a lot of strength in the Placidus system. You know, the use of hour markers, the way that it aligns with the use of planetary hours. And I'm certainly not trying to use this as an argument to say that Placidus was there right at the beginning of the system. It could well have been. And some astrologers have felt that that was what was being used. But, you know, there's a lot of good philosophical reasoning why Placidus would become, as people have thought through the issues, to think that makes a lot of sense in what the houses are supposed to be doing, which is giving qualities to time. It works so nicely with the use of planetary hours. It fits right back into the tradition and, you know, the early use of decans. And the decans being used as hour markers in horoscope, you know, the little minor horoscopes, the 36 minor horoscopes and the major one that marked the ascendant.
And I didn't mean to, I think that's a good idea to point out the good points and the philosophical or conceptual reasons that Placidus is positive or that other forms of house division have going for them. I guess I was just saying we can't immediately assume that just because something is the most popular that that means it's the best, because that's not necessarily always the case.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with you on that. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that might be true someday with Holstein, and that's why I tried to, which I'm sure you would take that position. If Holstein becomes like the dominant form of house division, that would be, you know, a position that somebody could easily take. And I'm sure there will be proponents of Holstein or people that use it that pick it up sort of without thinking very deeply about the matter. And that kind of frightens me in a sense.
That we need to be frightened by it.
At the end of my lecture, the main thing I try to emphasize to everyone is whatever form of house division, use the one that works best for you, but just have good reasons for doing it. And that was the main thing that I was trying to demonstrate with the lecture, even more than I was trying to sell Holstein houses to people. I was actually just trying to sort of lead by example by demonstrating, you know, somebody having a specific approach to house division they prefer and then trying to present specific reasons for why they use it, and that everybody should try to do that, which is something I think you did very well in your book, because you presented some of the strong cases for each of the different forms of house division.
Yeah. And I don't think that I shone a favour on any or tried to, you know, say this system is the best. Or, you know, I think if you've read my book, you would agree that what I tried to do with each system is bring out its benefits and also the arguments that could be made against it. And my conclusion was there is no house system that, you know, stands above the others in having all the solutions, because each one has merits of its own, and each one, you know, can't do something that another house system can do. So really what you've got to decide is what is important to you and what are the principles that you are seeing as important, and choose your system accordingly. And it may well be that many people come down. And in fact, I make this point, you know, about the whole sign, where I say, you know, certainly the argument can be made, and it has been made, that when we're using something that is, you know, pretty much symbolic in its basis anyway, they're not actually out there as astronomical realities, then why not just go for the system that is easy to apply and spare yourself all that astrological trouble? You know, it's like it's a selling point for the system, and there is no doubt about that.
I felt that was actually doing a slight bit of like disservice to Holstein, and because you did a very good job with all the quadrant houses in the book, presenting the things that make them unique and that you might want to use them for. I did feel like there was a little bit less of that for Holstein, and that was one of the reasons I wanted to present a lecture like this, to present what I see as the case in favor of it, which I know that on many of those points you don't necessarily agree about you know, my rationale for the things that I think that are benefits for whole sign houses. But
the whole thing started off, the problem for me was that the length of time given to justify the, or in my view, you know, it gave over the sense that this was authentic, this was legit, this is what they should be. And then everything that followed from that was a given, because why else would you, and to present it to novice, I just want to make this point, if I may, Chris,
sure.
That the dilemma that we had, and I know I mentioned this briefly to you yesterday, but it's worth saying for the benefit of the tape, is that you were in, I saw you as being in a very difficult position, because you are a phenomenal presenter and somebody that works with your medium extremely well. So you are so influential. And if it is your intention to popularize the technique, you are going to do that, you know, very successfully. But what crossed, what the discomfort that I had was, clearly parts of this were meant to be provocative. You were deliberately bombastic. We're starting off with this, you know, this title that is going to, like, be as provocative as it can be in order to get
provocative, but also like playful or kind of like joking.
You knew it would get the attention to get people to listen to what you were going to say. You knew,
right,
and that was,
right,
you know, like cute. You know, that was a good thing to do. But you cross over because you are also known as somebody that is representing. You are seen as an authority on, in terms of understanding your subject and the history of it. And so this is where I felt, you know, there was a blurring. It was difficult to know, is this joking? Is this meant to be taken seriously? But clearly when you presented your material about the history and the conceptual origin, you sounded so very, very informed that nobody would think to even consider that there may be other things that you're not saying. And so I felt, and this is, it may sound very unfair, but the reason why it is important for you to give that balance is that you have such an important standing in the community, you have such an influential position, that if you are speaking as somebody that is representing the historical position, I think you have to be careful to get the balance right. And it's so difficult, because what this was about was selling a certain system. You wanted to sell the use of whole sign system to your public through this presentation. And so you were in a very difficult position, because, you know, like, you were neither one thing or the other. I think you sell a system, I don't know if I put this across very well, but I think this, what I'm saying is that these are unique criticisms for you, because you are so good at representing the practice of what you're doing. But to say that this was just a simple, popular presentation aimed at modern astrologers kind of like belies how very persuasive it was as an authoritative statement of where we stand historically. Wouldn't have been a problem with somebody else, because somebody else wouldn't have had that expectation that you have, being somebody that is known as an expert and authority in your field. Do you take
sure.
my point on that and understand?
Yeah, and I take your point, and your point is well made. And there's a certain point where that's really good for me as a learning lesson.
It's actually meant as a compliment and not just a criticism, in saying that, you know, these are unique criticisms for you because of your importance of where you stand with things. If somebody else was saying things and not getting the balance right, and they were not really very effective or important, then nobody would notice, nobody would care, it would just pass over. But, you know, I think you straddle two roles, really, and it's very difficult to, like, when I try and look at the history of ancient house division, I really do try very hard to not let my, you know, my views on the practice influence me. We're all influenced by, you know, the way that we think. We can't help it. So I have my biases too, I guess. But those biases, the way that I see them, are just from thinking, well, this makes sense of what's there. Anyway, to go back.
And just to respond to that really quickly. So, I mean, I agree. That's a learning lesson for me in terms of being careful, because I have this issue sometimes now with this podcast, where on the one hand, I want to sometimes, you know, do a survey and present all of the different views that astrologers have and the multitude of different positions and viewpoints and opinions and traditions and things like that as a sort of showcase, and to showcase the diversity, but also to explore, you know, the pros and cons of different approaches. But then sometimes there's a tension between wanting to present my own view and present the view that after doing whatever research that I've done into the issue, especially in issues that I've done a lot of research, where I present what I think to be is the case. And that is definitely a tension, and it's something I'm going to have to be more cognizant of in the future, because I don't want to make it seem like I'm always just giving my own opinion without giving due weight to other viewpoints. But on the other hand, I also didn't feel like I made, and certainly the lecture was simplified and was did not include a lot of historical nuances. But then at the same time, I did not make any historical arguments that I do not personally believe or feel that I can back up or defend in the talk, whether I fully justified them in the talk itself, as I've tried to demonstrate today by going back and forth with you about some of these specific points. We just have, there are debates about it, and there are differences of opinion or viewpoint about the history of astrology. But for the most part, I tried to present what it seems to me to be my own opinion, as well as part of the general consensus of other authorities in the field that I respect. And I definitely, in the process, did not end up presenting, you know, your opinion about this, but I'm totally open to discussing and talking about it and showcasing your opinion as well, so that it's out there and people can kind of see both and make up their own mind.
And I have to say that I think you, with this dilemma that you talk about with your podcast, one of the things that I think is really to your credit is you do a great job when you do let people give their present, you know, their views. I've witnessed you doing it, and I think it really is good when you allow, I can see you entertaining ideas that are not your own, and you do it really good. And I would recommend that you do that because it's great when you do, and keep a separate, platform for presenting your own ideas. Because I think you do that really, really well. And, you know, it's something that deserves applause with this work that you do. Going back to, you know, some of the other points that you make, to just bring up this idea of the Gorkling zones. I would say when I made the comment that I could argue each and every one of the points that you made. We could carry on. We could say, like, I don't think that this argument about proving the Gorkling zone does anything, but to be honest, is there any value in that? I don't know that you were seriously making that argument anyway.
No, I wasn't. And I mean, the Gokland, to respond to Paul Kiernan, who asked about that and sort of challenged me on that recently, I mean, the Gokland results aren't even accepted scientifically and have been questioned in and of itself. So it's like we can't even use that at this point in time as an objective piece of data to even test, because nobody's even validated it fully. My only point was that when Gokland did publish those results, there were several decades where astrologers then debated, you know, why is the peak zone or the plus zone above the ascendant rather than below the ascendant? And I was simply pointing out that whole sign houses, strangely, is the only system, or one of the only systems, that could provide an answer to that hypothetically if it was a valid piece of data. So that doesn't mean I'm going to spend the rest of my life working on Gokland's, you know, statistical.
Yeah, there's different arguments. I mean, the fact that Lee Lehman has actually tested, you know, the data through whole sign and, you know, quadrant systems and said it has zilch effect on it.
Well, she seemed to say in that thread that there was one where it came out one test where it came out positive and one where it came out negative, which seemed to imply that they canceled each other out, or that was her conclusion about it, which I didn't fully understand. And I'd like to see whatever paper she published where she showed the results for that.
Yeah, she published a paper and the results was that it had no impact. So she looked at this.
Actually, I don't think she's published a paper on it. And that's why I asked that, because I'd like to see her publish her results on that rather than it just being a statement on a forum. And until that's done.
But I actually emailed Lee about that and got some information, and she did provide me with some more information about that.
Did she publish a paper on it?
I'm trying to scroll down. I find it difficult to, you know, put some notes in case they were needed. I can open up and check the email. She's definitely run the tests. We'll move on to something else. I'll open up the email and see what she wrote, because it wasn't major.
Sure.
Yeah, she's done the research. She's got all the data. She's run it through, and she's her opinion of, like, if it's been tested, and it's not supportable in a terms of testing it. And I've also given my own views, and I know there were views in the thread about, you know, that discrepancy could be explained in other ways. But so to me, I don't think that was a serious argument. It was another plug-in to your to pitch, if you like. And I don't.
Well, I mean, it was part of the pitch. It was also a serious potential, because the house of Holstein houses extends above the ascendant, whereas it, at the very most, will only extend 5 degrees above the ascendant in quadrant houses. So I don't see how that could not be seen as a serious sort of argument in favor of that when viewed in light of those results. Now, I'm not going to, you know, put my entire case on that or, like, die trying to defend it, but it's seriously worth thinking about, I think, at least.
Okay, well, then I can tell you what Liu's tested the data has to say, and also the fact that, you know, I made the point that to me, if you want a solution that makes sense of it, is the fact that most birth times are reported, you know, in after the event, so you're naturally going to get a lag. And the tradition allows for it anyway in the orb that it attaches to angles.
Sure. And I mean, I think that's an interesting argument. I mean, the only issue I'd have is just that if the birth time lag thing was true, it'd have to be true on a massive scale, that everybody's birth time was recorded very late in order to have the statistical results be skewed that much. And I'm not clear. I'm not sure if that's fully plausible, or I don't know, that would is a little bit of a stretch to me, but I don't know. I mean, it's at least an interesting argument to think about.
Okay. So Lee published some research some time ago in the Quarterly that Mark Urban Lebain had confirmed, is that she's run the data and it has no impact on it. So I run the Gocklin data, yes, I've had it on my system for years in Holstein, and the results are mixed. Holstein slightly improved the sports data and it slightly reduced the effect of the scientist data. In other words, there was no argument either way.
Well, I mean, that's actually interesting, because the sports data is the only data that's ever been replicated by other scientific organizations, and that's what led to the controversy surrounding the Mars effect, whereas I don't believe that the scientific data was ever replicated in other studies. So I think,
the problem,
you know,
that we had with this Gorklin data, like you say, there's a problem with the data, is the fact that, you know we don't have accurate data, because if you look at what the data is, it is so much of it is rounded up to the nearest hour, the nearest, you know,
okay.
There's what's not the nearest hour is the nearest half hour, and then there's some to the quarter of the hour. So,
sure.
You know, there is a rounding up effect. And so what I would say is that rounding up is naturally going to occur after the crisis and the dilemma of birth, when whoever is recording the time is, you know, has got their head together and thinks, okay, well, we better record the time now, because nobody is ever going to err on recording birth time before the birth has happened. So you're never going to get a gap of early birth times. Everything's going to be slanted to a delay, or, you know, it's either going to be accurate or it's going to be later. So there's going to be a natural lag about it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's all interesting stuff that I hope somebody researches at some point. I mean, it probably won't be me. This was seriously kind of a blow off lecture that I put together in about 4 hours, just based on various things I'd been thinking about for several years, or based on pieces from other lectures that was incomplete, because obviously this isn't a complete treatment of anything. So yeah, I mean, you know, I hope somebody does some interesting studies on that at some point. It was just a point that I raised that seemed to make some sense conceptually, and maybe providing an answer to the data. If somebody publishes a paper saying that it doesn't, or that it does at some point, then I'll read it with great interest.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point to make. You know, totally, it's an interesting point to make. It doesn't seem to be, you know, like, again, the problem was, you know, all about the presentation of this informal presentation, but is actually headed as a lecture and producing this strong, you know, support for the whole sign, which I guess what I would say, I don't want to go through any more details because, you know, we covered the issue really. And where sure. I end up with this is the disturbing point for me was the feeling that, you know, the lack of acknowledgement to the fact I felt of that there was well-known references to other systems of houses. And what I felt was an implication that came across that quadrant systems were an unknown quantity until they suddenly emerged in the 9th century for reasons that were not well thought out, which I felt, you know, again, just slanted the modernist new astrologer's mind towards the belief that quadrant systems had no age-old lineage, had no sure. principles behind them. And my fear is, or my concern is, that astrologers do need, or I believe ought to be, when they're making these decisions, as informed as they can be. And I just hope that, you know, what we get across as a result of this is the fact that, you know, the issue is more complicated. It's not a black and white thing. You know, there's a whole history and tradition of astrology that deserves a lot of respect and thinking about. And I guess I worry as well, Chris, because like a comment I made very offhand to you, we have this whole new generation of astrologers and they're learning through the internet, and astrology is changing. You know, when I started studying astrology, you had to learn how to calculate, you had to learn what the principles of the houses were because you had to calculate those houses. You had to use tables of houses to in order to construct and draw up your charts. What we have nowadays is, you know, like everything's changing with the internet. Astrologers are learning through the internet. I think we're in danger of losing the art of chart calculation to some extent. Like I said, I think there's many, many astrologers out there that don't possess a table of houses, let alone know how to use them. And so I, you know, for me, there's a feeling like, let's not lose that. There is a beauty in whole sign is in its, you know, in the points that you made and the simplicity of it, but let's still retain awareness of, you know, other systems and the value of them and an understanding of what they were trying to do. So that's, I guess, would be a summary of where I stood in the need to feel that, you know, this issue needs opening out and unpacking because of the impact that you've made.
Sure. And I think those are all completely valid points and criticisms to raise. And I'm really glad that you did. And I appreciate it because I did not present the full history of house division in this lecture. And I did not go into the complexity and the relationship that quadrant houses have to whole sign houses because I was just trying to present the case for whole sign in that lecture. Mm. So I hope that people, I just rediscovered yesterday, I'd completely forgot about, I had done a whole other podcast on my old podcast episode on my old podcast called Traditional Astrology Radio, where I spent like an hour and a half going through my perspective and also talking about some of the controversies involved in the history of and the development of quadrant houses and whole sign houses in the Hellenistic tradition. So I really encourage people to listen to that, to go to Skyscript and read some of the past discussions on house division that have taken place there, because lots of really good points have been made and with citations given so that different people, you know, can read up on that, to read, you know, your book, Deb's book on house division, and to read some of the papers that she has on Skyscript, where she really goes into that and talks about the pros and cons of different approaches. I mean, I'm not adverse to that. I did make I went a little bit too far in going over the top and promoting it because it's my system and because I personally think it resolves a lot of issues with house division. I didn't even go into all the issues. I actually forgot to talk about one of the main points, which is that it resolves the distortion of the houses and quadrants in complete northern and very high northern or southern latitudes. But I did not mean to close the door or say that everybody should adopt it right away or to say that quadrant systems were invalid. And I tried to close on that note, but I didn't do it as emphatically as I should have. So I hope that we've been able to rectify that a little bit today.
No, I certainly. I mean, I think almost to the extent that you've been too generous and too indulgent with me, and and I feel the emphasis has fallen too heavily on things that, you know, I suffer the lack of balance in picking out your good points. And that's something I'm going to worry about after this that, you know, I get so involved in the conversation.
Well, that's fine. I think these two episodes will balance out each other. So we'll call it even just based on that.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so much here that is of interest. I mean, each of the points that you made is a fascinating point in itself. There's a lot of good stuff that's going to come out of this review, I think. But ultimately, what struck me yesterday was what a pity that you hadn't had that podcast with Jeffrey Cornelius before you did this presentation, because I know that you would have done it differently.
Sure.
And, you know, that was just such bad timing, because the points that he made are really the ones that the whole community has to take on board now, that, yeah, there's going to be people using this system, there's going to be people using that system. The last thing that we want in astrology is a sense of, well, that system's wrong, this system's better, or, you know, you presenting your ideas, me feeling that, you know, if I discuss these ideas, I'm anti what you're doing, which is not the case at all. I hope that that's where we move to as a community and all of us. And I think engaging in dialogue like this in a very honest way is a step forward to that. I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Jeffrey had, as usual, some very sensible comments. Somebody, I think even Imbowski, characterized Jeffrey's statements as very sensible. And I think that's a good way to characterize them, especially about house division, among other things. And maybe I would have toned it down. It's actually funny, because I originally, when Adam first told me to give a talk on whole sign houses, I was like, okay. And I gave just this over the top title. And my girlfriend was like, that's probably not a good idea. You know, that's probably going to annoy some people. And I'm like, well, I'll just say literally the best system of house division ever. And it'll be kind of funny. And everyone will understand that I'm kind of joking a little bit with that. And then initially she's like, no, you shouldn't do it. And I'm like, okay, I'll just change it to whole sign houses.
And
yeah, I'll change it to like whole sign houses are sort of okay. Maybe sort of. But then Adam said, he's like, no, that'll be a great title. Let's just go with that. And I was like, okay, let's do that. And I forgot that I had that initial debate about how to frame the argument, and that this is a sensitive topic for a lot of people. And it's also very nuanced in detail. It's not a simple topic, even though I presented it as simple in the lecture. There's a lot of complex historical and technical and practical issues behind it.
It was the combination of the two, Chris, because I think what would be great is if you just went out there and said the reasons I love whole sign, and, you know, just be as outrageous as you want to be.
Right.
But you're taking off your authoritative historian's hat while you do it, and you go out and you just, you know, which I know you do. Yeah, and as I said, it was the combination of, it was supposed to be a simplistic presentation, but actually there was so much depth in the points that it was hard to just to know whether this should be taken lightheartedly or not. But yeah. Yeah.
Sure. And I was, you know, sort of summarizing things that I think are true in the history of astrology, but I did not give adequate weight to other opinions and to counter arguments and to the subtleties and nuances that are involved. So I hope everybody understands that and views the lecture in that context if they listen to it again in the future. And thanks for helping me to fix that and to get back to more of a moderate sort of position, Deb.
No, thanks. No, thanks for being so indulgent with my views.
No, it was great. So I'm glad I finally had you on the show. One of these days, like I was talking about yesterday, I'd like to have you back again to talk about other things, because I know that you have a huge sort of research interests that are very vast. And I'm sure there's other things that we could talk about that would be really interesting and that would be not like points of disagreement or something, but instead
exactly.
More like exploration.
Exactly. Because, you know, it's a wonderful thing, Chris, when astrologers that are actually in different viewpoints on things can engage in discussion and, you know, do it just freely. Because that's what you do when you're really interested in a subject. You discuss, you debate, you argue, if you take people seriously. But what would be good is to just talk about what I would love to talk about as an astrological practitioner. So we'll
sure.
Do that sometime.
Excellent. Good. Well, I look forward to it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.